Ask Brother Lou Garrison to open in prayer.
Our gracious, all-wise Heavenly Father, we do humbly come to the throne of thy grace, in the precious name of thy dear Son, Jesus. We do thank thee, dear Father, for this day and many rich blessings to us in thy storehouse. We do ask thy blessing upon Brother Bill now as he continues in this presentation of the truth and the many lessons that thou hast for us. We do pray thy blessing upon him and blessing each and every heart here bowed to thee. Forgive us where we do err and fall short. We do pray for thy kingdom. Ask thy blessing upon those of our brethren the world over and those online here too. We do pray that blessing for them. Now we do pray and ask these things in the precious name of Jesus.
Thank you, Brother Lou. Brother Peter. Privileged to have Brother Bill Ostrander with us this hour. We've had a lesson on the most important doctrine, the grand character and balance of the character and harmonious character of our Heavenly Father. We've had a lesson on being in the school of Christ and the various different things. And now, Brother Bill Ostrander's lesson is project management for the consecrated.
Thank you, Brother Bob. We bring you love. Bring you love from our class, the Portland area Bible students. But we also bring you love from Brother Tim and Lori Allen, and also Sister Stephanie Tower wanted her love brought to the brethren. And see if I can find my cursor here. And also Sister Betty Yon wanted her love brought to the brethren as well. And Art class selects a text to use to greet the brethren every month, and I don't know if they knew what the theme was going to be for Bellingham or not, but the text they chose for this month was John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In the business world, project management is very important. For any kind of project, it needs to be well managed to be successful. Projects of any size usually have a lot of pieces that must come together on a schedule. There must be a lot of coordination. There must be a lot of thought that goes into the planning of the project, the design of the project. Then they have to determine whether it's worth the money that it will cost, so they have to know how much it's going to cost. They have to know who is available to work on that project, what the resources are for that project. And then as a project gets underway, it has to be tracked and make sure that it's meeting its schedules. And if there are delays, they need to determine what's the causes of those delays. What are the risks to a project? What will cause it to fail? And they need to document all these things and keep tabs on them. That's project management. Very early in the process of managing a project, at least in my realm, they draw up a project plan. That's a single document that is shared among everyone involved with the project. And it describes the project in some detail. What's the scope of the project? What does it entail and what doesn't it entail? What is a project going to cost? What are the benefits of the project? Who will do the work? Who are the customers? Who benefits from this project? And who are the sponsors? Who are the ones that provides the necessary resource and funding for the project? This document's very important. It's a living document. It begins at the beginning of a project, and it is shared among all that are involved, and it is changed as the project changes along the way. At my place of employment, I was just not too long ago assigned to manage a project, and I filled out one of these project plans. That was my first task. Then it took several days to do that, and I was typing away at my desk, and a thought came across my mind as I was filling in some of the blanks. What if I filled out one of these forms in relationship to my consecration as a project? And so as I was filling out this this form, it was actually a template. It's a form that's just kind of blank, but it has all the sections that you need to ensure that you've thought about everything you need to think about for a project. And I just started thinking, how would I fill this out for my spiritual walk? And I got intrigued by, there were answers to these things. And so we undertook and actually took one of these blank forms home and filled it out. And we personally found it very helpful. It was a mental discipline to think about our consecration from this perspective. And filling out a form like this, you have to think about it from many different perspectives. So it became a mental exercise. And it turned out to be quite a boost to my Christian walk. And so we wanted to share that with you today. It's a nice way to remember and record thoughts that you hear. In my notes today, I was circling several different scriptures that came up because I wanted to add them to my my plan, my consecration plan. It's a nice way to think. We've had Philippians 4:8 brought out a couple times. At our convention this past little while, a couple months ago, we had the subject of right habits of thought. And I just appreciated looking at this plan, looking at our consecration, and having to force myself to think about it in this way. And it's a tool. It's a helpful tool in that as we hear things about our consecration, it's kind of a place where we can jot these down and record the scriptures along with it. My objectives are to share this with you. And the template, as I kind of boiled it down from the business form that I had, is your handout. And you won't see any scriptures on there. You'll see a little bit of business jargon. And you're probably wondering, what is this Brother Bill giving us? But I think you'll come to see that it'll be very a very nice way to think about our consecration. And as we go through the school of Christ, it's a nice way to have a notebook to put notes in. On mine so far, I've collected over 60 scriptures that I've kind of noted along the way, and we can't share all those with you. There's not enough time, but we hope that this will make sense to you as we get into this. There's 10 sections in this plan, and we will go through each one of these sections, and I think the online brethren have access to that as well. Just wanted to say up front, if you would like an electronic copy of this plan, send me an email message, and I'll be glad to share my email address with you, or it's on old Brother Ron's list, and we'll be glad to mail you one. This may not be for everyone. You may not want to fill out your own consecration plan, and that's okay. I hope that you get some ideas and some thoughts and some new perspectives from going through it today. If you do decide to fill one out, I would encourage you to start from scratch and to fill it out. I will be sharing with you some of my thoughts that I put in my plan, but I think it's a good exercise to fill your own out. And I hope that this will this lesson today will be a starting point for that process. Let's go ahead and take a look at the consecration plan. And as it says, the italics are just kind of descriptions of the various fields and how to fill them out. And as it says underneath the title, this is meant to be a living document. And as your Christian walk progresses, you may revisit this plan many times and make changes and make adjustments. The first section is kind of a header. It's just a title and the key elements of this particular plan. The project name, what I put in mind was making our calling and election sure. And you may want to choose another title. The project manager, we may be tempted to put the Heavenly Father in that slot. And certainly, he is the manager in many, many respects. He provides the resources we need. He gives us the experiences to the right intensity and the right time that we may benefit from them. But rather than Jehovah's name here, I'm suggesting you put your name here as project manager. It is your consecration. Now the next line there is lead performing organization. Now that's a kind of a business term, but I left it as it was. And what I put in here is Jehovah and his son, Jesus. For these are the ones who, like I said before, they provide the resources, they provide the guidance and the education, and our Lord has walked this way and successfully performed this project before us. So he gives us the example to follow. So they are the lead performing organization. And we'll get into more details later. Customer organizations. Again, this is a business term, but these are those who benefit from this project. Ultimately, it's the entire world of mankind. But for now, it's the household of faith and our neighbors. The project start date would be the date of your consecration or the date of your immersion. The estimated project completion date. Well, that's the day this human body dies. And we have a text to go along with that from Romans 6:6-8. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that our body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And the project state or phase. Projects in the business world, they go through several phases. They go through a planning phase, and then they go through a design phase, and then they go through a construction phase, and then a testing phase. And then beyond that, it's in the operational state. Well, our consecration isn't exactly like that. It may have bits and pieces of all those things, but what I put here is ongoing and continuous diligence. Okay, the project statement is the next section that we see, and this is just a brief statement of what this project is intended to create, just a brief description. And I'll read what I put in there. The intention of our consecration is, in the process of sacrificing our humanity, Romans 12:1, to crystallize Christ-like character qualities so we may be worthy, invisible, divine, spiritual instruments as part of Christ's body, to uplift mankind in harmony with their Heavenly Father. The end result will be everlasting life for humanity, that they may truly know the Heavenly Father and bring glory and honor and praise to His holy name. And I have the same text that Brother Allen brought out to us, John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God. The next section is current needs and benefits statement. Again, this is kind of business language, but it does describe what we have. And this can be a very lengthy statement that describes what the situation is that created the need for this project and what this project will provide to meet that need. And I'll go ahead and read through what I wrote. Again, I would encourage the brethren, if they decide to fill out such a template, to start with a blank form and put it in your own words. The world of mankind is trapped in a deplorable, dying, sick, stricken condition and completely unable to improve their lot. The Heavenly Father anticipated and allowed this for man's ultimate benefit. So it follows naturally that with supreme wisdom, the divine Creator had conceived a plan for the recovery and perfection of the human race. The cornerstone of this plan was a Redeemer. Jehovah's only begotten Son, Jesus, would provide the corresponding price as a perfect man, thus assuring Adam's release from the sentence of death. Since all of Adam's offspring inherited that same sentence, all mankind is likewise assured of a genuine opportunity of obtaining perfect everlasting life as originally intended. Romans 5:18. Knowing such a recovery from depraved and fallen to perfect human life would require time and resources, God's plan included a 1,000-year period during which His Son, the Redeemer, would, as King, Priest, and Mediator, lead the world to righteousness. And here is where this project comes into the picture. For it is by the grace of Jehovah that He provided for a class of 144,000 to be selected for mankind to be intimately associated with their Lord as his body members, as his bride. Christ's body members will share his spiritual nature in the divine realm. From this position, they will be able to assist the Lord in restoring mankind to harmony with their Creator, harmony that was lost in the garden by Father Adam. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. It is the Father who issues the invitations to be trained for this position. So to accept, one must first willingly sacrifice their right to perfect human nature secured for them by Jesus. Accepting this condition of sacrifice and dedicating one's entire will and energy to the doing of God's will is called consecration. This project began when we first took this step of consecration. It is to be successful in making our calling and election sure, we must maintain constant diligence. 1 Peter 1:10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to making your calling and election sure. The forces working to thwart our success are powerful, subtle, and seductive. Ephesians 5:12. On the other hand, the Almighty Father himself guarantees our success. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If we could sustain that diligence with confident faith in Jehovah's providence, enabled by the merit of Jesus, which covers our blemishes, this project will be successful. This project entails a transformation, Romans 12:2, whereby we add to our faith Christ-like character qualities. It also entails an education, as we've learned, whereby we learn from the Word of God. In addition to the example of His Son, we learn about God's own plans and purposes and characters. Thus, we are enabled to accept His will in the place of our former will. This project will take our human lifetime to complete. We have completely surrendered the human nature. We are allowed to retain it solely to develop the qualities that can be carried over to the spiritual realm. That probably goes a little beyond the intent of that section, but that's a brief description of the project that we are undergoing. The next section is a scope statement. Scope means to define the bounds of the project. What is included in this project and what is not included in the project. And I'm going to read what I put down, and brethren may think about this differently as they write their own. Individuals are responsible for making their own calling and election sure. So the scope of this project plan applies only to the one who has written this plan. However, the greatest of all graces to be achieved under this project is love. agape love, unselfish, altruistic love for others. And we are our brother's keeper. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So a product of this project is an ingrained attitude of concern for and sensitivity to the welfare of others. The evidence of such an attitude is active service for the Lord, the truth, and the brethren. First John 3:13. Although we cannot carry out another's covenant of sacrifice, we can encourage, exhort, build up our fellow brethren. Hebrews 3:13 and also Jude 20 and 21. I liked Sister Judy's testimony. She said, I want to be faithful, but I also want my brethren to be faithful. And so I think she summed up this scope statement very well. The next section is the project team. And I think you'll see in your handout several titles. And these were really left over from the original template I borrowed from work. Except I changed one of them. The lead project sponsor. Who do you think I put in there? That is the Heavenly Father, Jehovah. Percent of time on the project? 100%. What are our expectations of the Heavenly Father? We're just kind of working our way across these columns. And we're just kind of, I listed three expectations, and I'm sure that the brethren can come up with many more. Number one is to supply abundant strength, guidance, and enlightenment through His Spirit and His Word. Psalms 18:35. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness has made me great. Secondly, we expect the Heavenly Father to direct our experiences so that we can gain the best value from them. And thirdly, that He will never forsake us. He will truly be our lead project sponsor 100% of the time. Who will be the project manager? And again, the name for this role is your name. Percent of time on the project? 100%. Now, we don't feel like we can achieve that all the time, but that's where our heart needs to be. Expectations. Well, I have quite a list. I have five expectations. Diligence in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Study. 2 Timothy 2:15, that word study to show thyself approved, means be diligent. So give diligence to show thyself approved. The thought of study, as we think of sitting down at our desks and opening the scriptures and researching, That comes later in the text where it says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Diligence in prayer, study, and service. Secondly, I have build upon faith with moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. And you probably know the texts where those come from. 2 Peter 1:5-7 and Galatians 5:22-23. Thirdly, I have be an example of the believers. Philippians 1:27, only let your manner of life be worthy the gospel of Christ. Fourthly, mortify the flesh. Romans 8:13 and Galatians 5:24. And the fifth one I have here is rejoice. And I have three texts, but I'm just going to read one, Romans 15:13, because it goes along with the theme of the convention. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. That takes care of the project manager. And I don't claim that any one of these expectations are exclusive for any of these roles. The next one is a spiritual domain expert. That's the one that I modified slightly. I think it was business domain expert was what was in there before. And I put our Lord Jesus in that position. And I quoted a text that I associated with that is Hebrews 6:19-20. Wherefore the forerunner for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He becomes our anchor. And again, 100% of the time on duty. Three expectations, and again, we can probably think of more. One, he sets the ideal standard. As our advocate, he covers our sins. Well, as our Redeemer, he covers our sins. As our advocate, he presents us before the Father. Those are the three things that I had before. For advocate, 1 John 2:1. Who is the core project team? Well, I put the above three. The Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus, and ourselves. But there are other resources we can draw upon. Other resources and resource teams. And I have seven of these listed. One is our brethren. As under the heading of percent of time on project, I have as needed. And what can we expect from our brethren? I put down love, sympathy, and service. Romans 12:10. Be kindly affectioned to one another, with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. The second resource team are the apostles. And the apostles are examples, under expectations, examples and teachers. 1 Thessalonians 1:6-7. And ye became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that ye became an example to all that believe. So it's really saying that we become examples to others as we appreciate the teachings and the examples of the apostles. The third resource team are God's messengers. And we especially emphasize the seventh messenger, Pastor Russell, and what he has revealed unto us. And the expectation is that God would choose messengers that would be faithful stewards. Matthew 24:45. The fourth resource team are the ancient worthies. And they, for us, serve as witnesses of faith. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Fifth group of resources would be our ecclesia. And ecclesias nowadays take many forms. We have online ecclesias. And the ecclesia we would expect to be a resource for us to promote study and provide an atmosphere of study and a regular interaction with our brethren. The sixth group are the angels, and they would provide invisible protection. Psalms 91:10-11. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come up nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. And finally, the world. Now, how is the world be a resource team? Well, the world becomes a proving ground for love. Again, I don't claim that any of these are exhaustive, and I'm always open to other suggestions that may occur to the minds of the brethren. The next section is stakeholders. A stakeholder is individuals or groups who will, this project will affect in some way or another. They may benefit from it. They may participate in it. They may be influenced or affected by it. And I've listed five stakeholders. The first one, again, is our Heavenly Father. He is a stakeholder in our consecration. And his role I've put down as the architect of the divine plan. And what are the effects upon Jehovah? How can he be affected by anything that we do? Well, he can be honored by our devotion, our diligence and obedience. We can bring glory and honor to his name. Psalms 145:10. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. The second stakeholder is our Lord, Jesus. And I have two roles for him. One is bridegroom, and the other is mediator. As bridegroom, the effects would be to be honored by our adornment of character. 1 Peter 3:4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. And also Psalms 45, verse 14, she shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The second role for our Lord as a stakeholder is that of mediator. And as mediator, the mediator class will complete that role and enable that role to benefit the world of mankind by our success in overcoming. Hebrews 9:27. As is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And in that context is a reference also to the mediator class. But that text shows that it is a class. The third stakeholder I have listed as our brethren. And their role is that of fellow sacrificers. Ephesians 2:19. So then ye are no more strangers and sojourners, but ye are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. The effects on the brethren as stakeholders is that they should be supported, encouraged, and uplifted, and loved. The fourth stakeholder is our family and our neighbors. 1 Timothy 5:8. If any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. What is their role? Well, I've put down, and you may come up with something different or in addition, but I put down they are observers. They are comforted, hopefully, by the peace, the patience, and the joy of our convictions. 2 Corinthians 3:2. Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Finally, I have the world as a stakeholder, and the role is, I put down, they are the ultimate benefactors. For they will be restored to perfect human life and harmony with the Creator. 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And if you read that from the diaglot, you'll notice that your souls, the your is omitted. So it would read, even the salvation of souls. So this is one of the goals, one of the objectives of our consecration is a salvation of souls. Let's go on to the next section, which is risks to the project. In other words, these are things that might threaten the success of this project. There's three columns under here. One kind of names or identifies the risk. The next column is the likelihood that that risk might occur. And the third column is a mitigation, or other words, what we can do to reduce the likelihood of that risk or deal with it when we encounter it. I have six risks, and I'm sure there are many more. For the purpose of this lesson, I left the likelihood column blank. The reason I did that is I think the likelihood may vary. What was normally put in here is high, medium, or low. That's how we filled out this form for our business project. And that may vary with different individuals. So I decided to leave that blank. So we'll just talk about the different risks and possible mitigations. Under risk, the first one I have listed is fear. And I'm not putting these in any particular order. But fear is one that would threaten us from following through to the greatest extent with our consecration. What are some things that we can do to mitigate the risk of fear? First of all, we can fill our heart with the precious promises. Brethren, I encourage you to look at the little booklet, Exceeding Great and Precious Promises, pages 3-6. This is the introduction material. For they express in so many lovely and different ways the importance of ingraining these precious promises into our minds and hearts. And then we have another mitigation would be to develop confidence and trust in the Father's care and overruling providence. Matthew 6:30-31, which starts out, "But if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you?" And thirdly, allow the power of love to remove fear. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. The next risk is failure to mortify the flesh. And I have two items for mitigation. One is to study and appreciate the dire consequences of sin. James 1:13-15, which traces the various steps that sin can lead to as we encounter temptations. Secondly, to pray, watch, and carefully guard our hearts. Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And Psalms 19:12-13, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." Thirdly, selfishness. And we learned recently that fear is a form of selfishness. It's a self-preservation. The mitigation is to appreciate and embrace love as a counteracting antidote for selfishness. Embrace and appreciate and study the altruistic, the outgoing love that is interested in others and reaches out to others. Fourthly, pride. Pride is a risk to the success of our consecration. How do we mitigate? Well, we must note that humility is an essential key to our success. Proverbs 16:18-19, which begins, "Pride goeth before destruction." And also be aware of the subtle forms of pride. Pride can take many different forms. We can be proud of our humility. Impatience can be a hindrance to our consecration, the success of our consecration. To mitigate that, we must know that it takes time to develop love. Romans 5, 3 to 5. I'm trying to zero in on the part of this that I wanted to note. But not only this, but we exalt in tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings about perseverance, or the thought of patience. Note how impatience is contrary to love. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient and accept from many scriptures that patience in this process, this walk, is very crucial. Romans 2:7, to them who by patient, continuous, and well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality. And also James 5, 7 and 8, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. And last, not least, but last, and I'm sure there are more, not redeeming the time. Just the last on my list, but I'm sure that we can think of more. Not redeeming the time. The mitigation is to be aware and consider and have in the forefront of our minds how precious our time is. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. And a similar thought in Colossians 4, 5. Resist worldly allurements, because the allurements of the world can steal time from our spiritual endeavors. Titus 2:12 and 1 John 5:4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The next section is project deliverables. And I have four, and I'm sure that we can think of more, but we'll just consider four at this time. And the first deliverable is fruits of the Spirit. And the description is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. Secondly is wisdom. Study to gain knowledge and understanding of God's character and plan, but also apply that understanding to our experiences and interactions. Psalms 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Proverbs 4, 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Thirdly, deliverable would be service. Service and activity. Seek to follow through with opportunities to encourage the household of faith and witness to the truth of God's word. The fourth on my list is sacrifice unto death. That is the ultimate deliverable. The description is continuity of our endeavor to keep our old creature on the alternate of sacrifice until the death of the human body. And we recently had a scripture that's very nice along this line. Arise, and this is taken from Ezra 10, verse 4. Ezra 10, 4. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage. Be of good courage and do it. Milestones and tasks. This section for this lesson I left blank. These will change with every individual. An example would be perhaps you want to read through the volumes in the year 2005. And so you would put a start date and an end date. And you would check in with this. Perhaps you want to write a certain number of letters or communiques during a particular month. Think about this and set goals for yourself and revisit this list to see how you are doing. Finally, and we are very close to the end of our time, so we'll just read several items that will help us maintain this project. Maintenance strategy and responsibility. I've listed 8 things, and I'm sure there are more. Prayer. Watching unto prayer. Meditation. Study. Assembling together. Activity. I put down the memorial as one thing simply because it is a reminder to renew our consecration vows. And finally, reviewing this plan regularly. Brethren, I hope this has assisted in your viewing your consecration from many different standpoints. And I hope this helps you in your consecrated walk. That is our objective. I, like Sister Judy, want my brethren to be faithful. May the Lord have his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Bill, for that lesson. We realized that it was a big project, and I think maybe you may have just expanded it slightly, at least defined it for us. I appreciate the structure to thinking about it. We're going to close with hymn number 229. Hymn number 229. Thank you. eyes for the singing last verse.
Our most gracious, loving, kind Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee, thankful for this opportunity to gather together, to look into Thy Word. Dear Lord, we are humbled and thankful for the opportunity of being invited to walk this narrow way. We do realize that we are truly nothing without You, and need the indwelling of Thy Holy Spirit to be successful in completing our calling and election. Dear Lord, we pray this not only for ourselves gathered here, but all Thy children the world over. We ask Thy blessing and Thy strength and Thy guidance and Thy wisdom to be with each and every one of them. We do so desire to see the world of mankind be restored, that they may also glorify Thy name and have eternal life, that they might know Thee. Dear Lord, we'd ask that You would be with those who travel from this place, bless their journey, and the fellowship and the activities that follow. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.